Good afternoon. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip Thursday, the 27th of May. Late. I've had a very eventful morning. I've had a lovely gift from my boy. I've put the picture on Twitter. I like pencil drawings. I've got many pencil drawings of animals around the house. Some of you have seen them on Zoom in the background, leopards, elephants. And then we had our dog Charlie done. I got that done for Sam by an artist down in Cornwall. A couple of pictures of Honey, but then my boys had our latest spaniel done, Izzy. Absolutely beautiful. I think it's the best of the lot. So I got that delivered. I've finished Ultimate. I've put all the databases and everything online. FDD Masters are online, covering the end of the season with that Marseille result corrected from that nonsense the other day. And I've been inundated, and I mean inundated, as people wallow in my misery, news of potentially, and I think it's gaining traction, Poch going back to Spurs. And unfortunately, when things like that happen, and I should, it's one of them. Do you remember that Ricky Gervais sketch? I think I said it, I should have let it go. People just keep bombarding me about it. And I've got a couple of Spurs fans, mates, who are absolute Poch lovers. They idolise him. So they are waxing lyrical. So I've ended up having numerous rucks on various platforms that I shouldn't have. But it's absolute waste of time. The guy's, I'm going to say it one last time, he is an absolute fraud. Bar that miracle in Ajax, and it was a miracle. Moura getting three goals. Poch very little to do with that. It was terrible. He never won one big game. West Ham, when Leicester won the league, Leicester and Arsenal had played midweek before us. Both had lost, and Tottenham were playing West Ham. And it wasn't, you know, the West Ham we're seeing now. It was a poor West Ham side. I think it was to go joint top or a point behind, and we lost that. Battle of the Bridge, 2-0 up. We ended up drawing that. Chelsea in the Carabao Cup final. Man United in the semi-final. He just picked a dreadful team. Juve in a Champions League quarter-final when we were in control. And he messed that up. Bar Chelsea final, which I didn't think we'd win. The other four were unforgivable, all totally avoidable. And then the Champions League final itself, which in my opinion, Kane should never have started. And hadn't played football in 10 weeks. And gets benched for the guy who scored the hat-trick. The guy who got the hat-trick in Ajax gets benched for Kane, who hadn't played football for 10 weeks. He inherited the best squad we've had at Tottenham in 30-odd years in my time going. And I'm still convinced, although I can never prove it, which is the thing they cling to, that when any certain top manager wins, a top manager would have won something with that group of players. And when that team started breaking up, Walker went to City, Dembele moved on, and that's really when it really went to pieces, was when Dembele left. He was absolutely clueless. All this talk of a rebuild, and I'm a big Levy critic, but he signed Davinson Sanchez. That was a Poch signing. He's absolutely fucking terrible. I mean, he's one of the worst players I've seen in a Spurs shirt. He was our record sign at the time, 42 million. 22 million on Aurier. Absolutely useless. And then in that summer, before it started going all wrong, 170 million. Funnily enough, the boys and I were talking about this away at the golf this week. On garbage. But he got his two number one targets. He wanted and Ndombele, and he got him, and the lad's talented but can't play an hour of football, and he wanted Lo Celso. And it's reported, and I know a source within the club who sort of backed up, that he wanted Lo Celso over Fernandes. I think Levy was more for Fernandes, but they wanted 8 million, but Pochettino wanted Lo Celso anyway. He is absolute pish. He's just a Lamella 5 years younger. And then we spent, and that was 130 million. I know we got the Celso loan originally, so we had 130 million on them two, and then 40 million we haven't even seen. Where is Ryan Session and Jack Clark? Never been seen in Spurs shirts. Where are they? So it's difficult to say he wasn't given money. He was genuinely arrogant, thought he could make Winks and Dyer into the sort of Dembele-type replacements. And he ended up with 24 or 25 points in his last 24, 25 games. He's gone to France, failed to win a league. And instantly when that happened, people texted me, oh yeah, but Lille had a massive head start when he went there because Tuchel had done badly. I think they were level on points, or there was 1 point in it. Lyon were top of the table when he went there, and Lyon fell away. I think Lille and PSG were either level on points, or Lille might have been 1 point ahead. And what's he had, 21 odd games there? And you know, if you're not a football bettor and you say to somebody, name a Lille player, they can't. You say, name PSG, Mbappe, Neymar, Di Maria, you got what, 400 million there. Absolute fraud. He is an absolute fraud. Lovely guy, fraud of a manager. If it does happen, he's going to come back, and I wouldn't give the guy a tenner to rebuild a team. But I think it's an absolute masterstroke from Daniel Levy again. There's so much toxicity at the club. There is a massive sort of deluded people who think Poch is some sort of messiah. And instantly he's just going to diffuse all that if he can pull this off. But it'll all end in tears. Levy is a fucking genius. It'll all end in tears. Bookmark this pod. You heard it here first. Right, let's move on from that. I'm going to give you a recipe today. I was going to sing a song, but I just didn't have time. Summer's here, the sun's shining. I've walked the dog twice today. It's absolutely beautiful out there. We've got the sun shining. We have all put a little bit of terry on, haven't we? We're locked down. We're coming out of it. So we're going to start doing some nice, light summer recipes. Sam's going away. I'm going to do these all the time now. We're going to have recipes, singing, food, books. It's all coming back. I might go back to when Sam's away. I know Dave will kill me for this, but I might go back to daily pods. I'll be here. I'll only have the dog to talk to. So today, nice little pasta dish. Pepper and lemon spaghetti with basil and pine nuts. Really easy, really quick. It's good for veggies as well. You can have it. So tablespoon of oil. You want a red pepper. You want some spaghetti, wholemeal or normal, whatever you like. Not too thrust. A couple of courgettes. A couple of garlic cloves. A lemon. Some chopped up basil. You know, I just buy the packet basil, 750 gram, whatever it is, the 75 gram little bags with a few leaves and that in that you can just chop up. And some pine nuts, a couple of tablespoons of pine nuts, and a couple of tablespoons of parmesan. Slice and dice your pepper, get all the seeds out, heat the oil up, fry your pepper for 5 to 10 minutes. While you're getting that going, get the pasta on. Generally, if you use the fresh spaghetti, it takes 4 or 5 minutes. If you're using the dry stuff, 10 to 12 minutes. It's not actually, doesn't have to all be cooked at the same time because you're going to put it in with the rest of the ingredients. So just cook your pasta, strain it, but keep some of the pasta water. So when you strain it, strain the first bit into a cup just so you've got a cup of pasta water. Grate your courgettes. Grate, finely chop your garlic. So you've got your pepper going 5-10 minutes, then add the grated courgette, add the garlic, and stir fry that until the courgette is really soft. Literally in zest and juice of lemon, stir all that in, lob in the basil, get your spaghetti then and put that in, stir it all together. The starch from the spaghetti now may start to make it a bit dry. That's when you add your pasta water, just to unstick it, cover it all, it'll cook down. Leave that to cook for a couple of minutes. Lob in the pine nuts, put it in a bowl, sprinkle with parmesan and a bit of black pepper. Job done. It's absolutely easy, tastes gorgeous. Lemony, zesty, garlicky taste with the peppers adding a bit of sweetness. Absolutely beautiful. Get yourselves in there. There you go, pepper and lemon spaghetti. Crack on, get it done. Right, and touching back on yesterday. So yesterday I sort of talked about this machine thing. Again, always get quite inquiries when I talk about stuff like this. And I understand there's lots of people who sort of think, oh, I'm only talking about the summer school and they can't do it or don't. That's absolutely fine. No, I mean, I'm still hopefully going to use the pod through the summer to help people who aren't doing that. I'm just sort of talking about elements that we look at. And one of the elements that is obviously going to be really key over the next couple of months is building systems and how you build systems. And what's a good idea now, and I do this, is whatever you've bet on over the last, you know, 12 months, 18 months, if you're new, 2 years, whatever it may be, is to actually go and look at it and deconstruct how you put it together. What actually made you go down the road of betting that? How did you, in effect, that's your end product that you're betting. How did you get to that stage where you were going to put money into that and deconstruct it? I'm going to talk a lot in the summer, particularly with the guys, about system building and back testing compared to back fitting, and hopefully sort of give them a smoother ride into that, so that people don't. I'm still very conscious of the way that we produce data, but any data really that people just remove and remove and remove, where in effect what I do is I have an idea which I take forward, but then I can apply that criteria backwards and see what would have happened before. I try and work that way as opposed to working click 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 click, oh I'll do that. So I kind of formulate the idea in my head, or that's what I'm looking for. You know, my price on stuff, I know the numbers I'm trying to get out the end, and then I want to see how those numbers perform backwards, rather than just doing a load of price on stuff and then saying, oh, and cherry picking. But I'm going to talk about that. So for you guys, I think actually looking at what you do and deconstructing how you got there, and I know some of you, you know, and I've always said it, you know, it's something I'm considering at the minute, just join Ultimate and click the macros and think that's suitable, when a lot of them just say sample and were never intended for that. They were really shown how to build a system. There are some on there that obviously I have talked about taking forward from 2015. There's others who have, as I say, click, 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 click. And then there's others who really haven't got any idea how to approach it, and have sort of probably sought help from others. And I know some of you have teamed up helping people with systems and ended up betting the same sort of stuff, which is absolutely fine. But ultimately, you know, we want to be in a road somewhere or on a pathway somewhere to where you're doing this on your own without any real help. And it doesn't have to be my data, you know, where you could get any data or generate data yourself, create, you know, models yourself that you could use. But again, I think there's too much emphasis on people on the final product, what they're betting, just to get a bet on, as opposed to how they got there. So one of the things that you can do is start to deconstruct, how did I get there? Why was it that I ended up betting that? Everything should be bet for a reason. What made me decide that's what I'm going to put my money on? And deconstruct it and work back. When you deconstruct it, then did you go wrong anywhere? Is there anywhere now, in hindsight, you're going to go, got that wrong? Wouldn't have done that, and if I had my time again, because then obviously you can reverse engineer that deconstruction to start to construct something that's a bit more solid. You know, I think there's a big misguidance in thinking that things just go on forevermore. You always got to be working and ahead of the game, and there's that balance then between how long do you stay in something and tweak things, and you've got to get a time span for that, which again I hope I'll be able to help people with. And I'm fairly aggressive in my approach to that, which again doesn't always suit anybody, going back to what type of machine are you, what makes you tick, what makes you work. I've got no problem being a bit more aggressive in what I do, but that's not suitable for everybody. Right, that's it. I've got, again, as I say, I'm literally just catching up admin and things. I've got a meeting all day tomorrow, just over getting set up for next season and getting that side done. I'm speaking to a couple of people this afternoon about the new layouts. So that's sort of my next few days. I will catch up all other admin as and when I can. My first priority at the minute is to get these new layouts of the data out to people as quickly as I possibly can, so people can have a look at it and get used to it and sort their own macros and things out. But that's where we're at. I will have an update on the Tanzania situation. Thank you for the messages. We read that. It is like being in a novel, honestly. It's absolutely curveballed me, because I just don't know how you end up in these situations. But there we go. We'll sort it out. I didn't watch the game last night, but I watched the penalties, just because I obviously had seen it gone to penalties. I thought I'd put that on for a bit of drama. Unbelievable penalties, weren't they? Unbelievable. What was it? 21 out of 22? To be fair, I didn't think De Gea's was that bad a penalty. I thought his goalkeeping was absolutely dreadful. I mean, the first few, he was just falling on the floor. He wouldn't even make an attempt to go for the ball. The Villarreal keeper should have saved Shaw's penalty. But yeah, you're looking at one stage, think going forever. Some of them are just absolutely cracking penalties. Even the guys who didn't put their name forward, you know, and had to come up and take one. Top corners, side nettings. It was quite an enthralling watch, wasn't it? I had absolutely no interest really in who won it at all. But you find yourself getting nervous for them, don't you? I found myself getting nervous for them taking the penalties. As each one went on, you found yourself getting a bit more nervous. But Etienne Capoue and Juan Foyth became the 90th and 91st players to leave Spurs and win a trophy since Spurs last won a trophy. We are an absolute shambles, and that old fraud Poch won't be solving anything. It's a sad day. Lovely to speak to you all. Have a lovely Thursday. There's no Premier League preview tomorrow because obviously we haven't got any, but I will be, I'll have a look at the weekend football that we have got. There's not much tomorrow, a few games in Ireland. I'll have a look at what I can for the weekend football. Might have a sing song, might have another recipe, might have a book. It's all back. We're coming back. We're going back to March 2020. Now we've got a little bit of time. Right, enjoy your Thursday. And I'll be back with you tomorrow.